I would consider as my formative years in because that's where my grandmother was, and I spent a lot of time with her. As I remember, age five, my aunt was teaching in West Texas, an old town called O'Donnell, Texas.
Oh, yeah, I've been to O'Donnell.
O'Donnell is 48 miles.
He's the data boy from O'Donnell.
Well, you know, Hoss Cartwright was from
right.
O'Donnell.
Right, yeah. But O'Donnell was quite the same.
Well, but you see, when they printed this in the paper, they said he was from DeKalb, Paris, Texas, or someplace like that. And I said, Dan Blocker, perhaps the thing that happened to Dan, the same thing happened to me with Calvert, Texas, in DeKalb, Texas, to him, because he actually grew up in O'Donnell. And I knew the family, knew him, you know, and it was always look at that when I see his biography, you know, it'll say, you know, Dan Blocker from DeKalb, Texas, and I said, that's a lie, you know, and I
did you know?
Yeah. His uncle was named J.D. His daddy was worked in the market all the time. They owned a grocery store in O'Donnell.
Yeah.
So under the whole family, Mrs.
Was he always a great big guy?
Always big.
Huh.
And he was sort of like a typical big cowboy kid who grows up in a small town. He was a hell raiser.
Mm-hmm.
I remember...
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, they bought him... he had an old black Chevrolet, and he was going to Hardin Simmons. And he used to come home and raise all kinds of hell. He played football at O'Donnell High, and that team was a Yellow Jackets. I remember his jacket and all, you know, because he was such a huge thing. When he was 15 years old, he looked, you know, he was must have been weighing 250. But he was a big kid, you know.
He had to be a kid like that.
But he, you know, when I say he was a hellraiser, he was just mischievous.
Uh-huh.
He was always into something.
Huh.
And I remember that big smile he always, he would do something and just smile, you know.
He'd probably get away with murder because of that smile.
Yeah, that smile, I didn't
yeah.
get it. Yeah, it was good. They had a good family there. His uncle, J.D., always thought J.D. was kind of queer. He wasn't married, but I knew nothing about queer then, but I always knew it was something wrong with J.D.
Something strange about
yeah.
J.D.
And
every time, you know, living in a place as big as this, every once in a while the phone will ring and, you know, the person just hangs up. And I don't know if it's somebody coming from the bar or what, you know, but every time that happens in my home, man's phone, he goes, well, this is one of your boyfriends. Like,
yeah. That's happened to me 1,000 times. When I was telling you about J.D., my sister, my aunt got sick. And my sister was going to school in Austin at that time Tillerson,
mm-hmm.
And she came out and they let her do a practice teaching. They use that as a practice teaching.
Uh-huh.
So while my aunt was in the hospital, my sister sent me to the store with a note and. Her handwriting was legible, but J.D. made a comment like, oh my God, I thought all school teachers had pretty handwriting, and of course I had to go back and tell her what he said.
Oh, Alan, did she have a few choice words for him?
Yeah, she wrote it back in a note.
Oh.
It was too harsh for me to tell him when she was
That's funny.
And all the time that she was out there, it was like she had a running feud with J.D. I never will forget J.D. She probably won't even.
They just didn't really hit it off, huh?
No, they just didn't hit it off, you know. First of all, my sister was usually proper and plump and all. And, you know, being out in O'Donnell, my aunt had all of the trappings of a small-town black school teacher
mm-hmm.
getting credit from the white establishment. You know, she knew how to go in and say, Mr. J.D., and that's my sister, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah, you know, it was just a real feud between them.